I think they like you, Steve.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
To go. 611, hi, it's show number 1,193, number 24 in the new building here at 303 East Wacker, and number 12 in the new studio. Now that we're up to date, let's dance. That seems like a good idea. We're going to give away tickets to next week's Saturday Night Live Experience show. If you'd like to come see us, you didn't see us last time we were there. Live broadcast from the Museum of Broadcast Communications at the Saturday Night Live The Experience exhibit next Friday morning from 6 to 10 a.m. Justin, have you seen it?
I have. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I really liked it.
Very cool.
I didn't think I'd like it. I was like, oh, I don't want Saturday Night Live. I know everything about Saturday Night Live. I don't need to see this. And I enjoyed it.
Did you do the thing where you walked out from the doors and pretended you were doing the monologue?
I didn't realize that there was a... you're supposed to go in order, like they're supposed to stop you and then you go. And I was just kind of walking through it. And so I walked into somebody else's experience.
I was like, oh,
Hi, I'm Justin. How's your experience?
What's the next room?
No, the rules don't apply to us.
No,
come on.
No.
Get an inside look at the making of Saturday Night Live. Over 500 artifacts, the couch from Wayne's World, props, costumes, scripts, and learn how the show comes together in just 6 days. And you can take a picture at the microphone where the show opens, where you do the monologue.
I enjoyed the room where you saw where the writers were working.
Yeah.
There's a great part of it where the writers talk about on video, but there also is the table and the idea of the writer's room. And
I've been in that room.
Yeah.
You've been in the real one?
Yeah, a couple times.
And
it's it's incredibly demeaning. it's like a college hazing. But
is there a camaraderie to it, or is it
scary?
Yeah,
a total cast system, just like high school. It's a complete cast system.
Oh,
it's the guys at the top
making
fun of the guys in the middle, and the guys at the bottom. The guys in the middle making fun of the guys at the bottom, and the guys at the bottom hoping to get to the middle. That's the whole thing.
And Larry David. I hate this. I quit.
Yeah, it's a rough room. We have tickets for you to come and join us. We'll do that today. Museum of Broadcast Communications in the city at 360 North State Street. The SNL Experience is going to close on New Year's Eve this year, so there's an opportunity for you to see.
So the idea is that they come out, we're going to do a live show, and they can be in the audience.
And then they get a tour at the end of the show.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And that, Sandberg, and that how it worked last time?
That is how it worked last time. Yeah, because people don't want to miss one moment of our show, so they can't do the tour during the show.
Or we set it up that way so they don't leave us.
Yes.
You know, one or the other. I mean, I don't know.
That's a lot of fun.
Those SNL tickets are coming up. President Trump's going to call us this morning. Corey Jobe will be here this morning. Corey Jobe is in charge of tourism for the state of Illinois. And I don't know if you heard, it's still summer. Dean later, of course, and we'll play, is it a Lollapalooza band, a actual band, or a band I was in? It's a hot game for those of you who are new to the show.
Everywhere I went yesterday, people were talking about it.
It's a serious buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the text question of the day, I don't remember how this came up, but we actually talked about this last week before I left town. What do you want to be when you grow up is a question I ask the kid of the week every week. Well, what did you want to be when you grew up, and are you doing it? That's the text question. What did you want to be when you grow up, and are you doing it? Now, I went through various phases. I wanted to be a chemist. You can giggle at any of these. I wanted to be... I went through a rock phase. I wanted to be a guy that studied rocks. I had like a rock tumbler.
Geologist.
I thought you wanted to be a rock star.
Well, it's sort of a rock star. It's a little
I had a little rock tumbler. I had various sample rocks, and I was going to be a geologist. I don't know where that came from.
You're big into quartz.
Yeah, I had them all. I collected the whole set. You know, cowboy fireman, all of that stuff. But I really wanted to be an astronaut because I was, you know, Dave and I are old enough to have been right smack dab in the middle of the Apollo thing.
Yeah.
I don't think kids want to be astronauts anymore.
No,
I had no interest.
It's not a thing.
No.
Yeah, I had no interest. But, you know, I grew up and it was Challenger. And that was sort of like,
no. Don't want to do that.
I'll send you the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But when I was 14, I knew I wanted to be on the radio. So, but when I was a little kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. Samber?
I wanted to be a tennis player, not because I was so good, but because I love the outfits. I also wanted to be a mother to five boys.
Why five boys?
I'm not sure. I really liked the Bulls, so maybe I thought a basketball team, but I specifically wanted to be a mom to five boys.
Well, plus you had a sister, no brothers.
Had to marry someone tall.
I know, exactly. which is funny because I don't like to be around too many people, so I don't even know how I would like to have a big family.
It'd be entertaining hearing you talk about your five boys, so I can tell you that right now.
I, too, had my own radio station as a child, KMS Radio. So
oh, you did?
I did. I talked up the songs, and then my sister danced to them.
Nice. So yeah. She was actually your, like, you were Dick Clark, mm-hmm. and she was the Dick Clark dancers.
Yes, and that's why it's called KMS, because it was Katie Mary Sandberg, because I couldn't get her to play it if it was MKS.
Okay. So, oh, right. Politics.
Yeah, but a tennis player was basically my main dream.
Dave?
I wanted to be a sportscaster.
From the moment you were born.
Well, not from the moment I was born.
The first thing you said was Vin Scully. Those are your first words.
When I was a kid, I was the one, when we were out playing ball, I was the annoying kid doing the play-by-play while we were playing.
You did the announcing?
I know. Was everybody else playing and you were on the sideline? Or were you playing?
No, I would play. I was playing and I was multitasking.
Yeah. Passed and it. Wait, that's me.
Yeah. Yes. You got your hands on a chain link.
And that was it.
You're giving us your everything you see.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like that.
Justin?
Marine biologist. No doubt about it.
Wait, were you George Costanza?
He took my thunder. Yeah,
why marine biologist?
I don't know. And it was funny because my dad was always a head scratcher, but I super got into dolphins and seals and stuff like that. So we went to the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. I was like, this is a Pacific bottlenose. This is a white-sided dolphin, not a bottlenose.
I wonder if I would have seen you at the conference with the IST conference where I was the geologist and you were the marine biologist.
We would have been kindred. That's why we're together. We're kindred spirits.
Exactly.
I love rocks and dolphins.
Last week, you probably liked the dolphin story. They found some hybrid dolphin. It was like a cross between a melonhead and something else. Oh, I've never heard of a melonhead dolphin.
Sometimes you know too much.
I was so annoyed I'd never seen a dolphin, and in my ocean escapades, and then we would go to Naples as adults with Miles, my son, and they're just like homeless. They hang around the pier.
Yeah.
There. They're just like waiting for people to throw scraps.
Did you ever swim with dolphins?
No. I mean, it's as close as you get, and everyone's like, a dolphin, and then like, the third time you're like, get away, like it's a mutt. You're like, get away, dolphin, get away.
Scoot.
Get
shoo.
Away, dolphin.
Shoo, dolphin, shoo.
Yeah.
Mary Vanderbilt.
I don't know. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a dancer. Then I used to talk to myself all the time, like with a hairbrush, you know, in the corner. And I think
so. You're doing a talk show?
No, I think I was in a beauty shop. I wanted to run a beauty shop and just talk to everybody, but I didn't want to cut hair. It didn't make any sense.
That makes sense. Steve? It does make sense.
Steve, you wanted to be an astronaut, probably.
We were just having this discussion here in the newsroom. A firefighter, an astronaut, and a nun.
A nun?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I went to Catholic school. These were, and the nuns were like the were the figures in the classroom that we all looked up to. I mean,
Steve's always been gender neutral.
That's actually the male nun. Is there a thing?
No, I think it would have.
No.
Yeah,
no. You could be a brother.
I could have been a brother, but I had wonderful nuns growing up.
Well, that's an unusual experience.
You just wanted the habit on.
It is.
Super Joe.
Flapping
would you,
in the wind.
Super Joe's only 31, so he's close to, he could still reach his dreams. Super Joe, what'd you want to be?
Yeah, I wanted to be a firefighter. Well, actually, at first, I wanted to be an ambulance, you know, the truck.
Yeah.
That
paramedic?
Know. Yeah, and then once, well, no, not a paramedic, the actual truck. I wanted to be the ambulance. and then once I figured out that was impossible, I went with firefighter.
How about you, Pete? You could translate for Pete. He's on the other side of the room.
He wanted to be a police officer.
A cop.
Not the car, the actual person.
Surely Dave is the only one that followed his dreams. The rest of us, you know.
Not so much.
When he's done the show.
When I'm done with the show in the morning, I do dabble a little bit in marine biology.
Oh, do you?
A little.
You go over to the lake?
I go over to
the river. Go to the lake, do a little fishing?
I go to the river trying to figure out what those otters were.
I do have to say that once I was old enough to realize what journalism and broadcasting was, that's when that became my dream of wanting to do that.
Well, kids, here's something for you. Pre-internet, the little town I grew up in, the radio station there was WTKO, 1470 WTKO. And every New Year's Eve, they count down the top 100 for the year. And this is pre-internet, so my big New Year's Eve when I was like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, who am I kidding, probably 15, I would wait for each song and I'd write them down. I'd make a list and then I'd tape it to my bedroom wall so I knew what the top 100 was. Early days of pretending I was a disc jockey.
You were in the know. That's
yeah.
Who needs the internet?
Well, we did, desperately. So I would get out of my room. 6:20, we'll come back and do the top six at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I'm number one. Facebook has uncovered a new plot to disrupt elections this year. Same modus operandi as 2016. The social media giant announced it had removed 32 pages and fake accounts that were part of a potential effort to influence this fall's midterm elections. 32 pages on Facebook is barely a grain of sand on a beach. But they continue to search, the point being they believe it's directly related to Russian hacking again, and they also believe that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Next. A federal judge yesterday granted a temporary nationwide injunction preventing a man from sharing blueprints for making plastic guns on 3D printers. These are one-shotters that you can make right there in your own home if you have a 3D printer without any approval for having said gun. President Trump yesterday tweeted that he didn't think it made a lot of sense. And yesterday afternoon, a judge said, doesn't make any sense. And meanwhile, in other court action, 500 kids remain separated from their parents, many of which may never see their parents again. These are the children that were taken from their parents when their parents were brought into the country after trying to get into the country illegally, processed and deported. The idea that this is a deterrent continues to be just abhorrent to most people who have kids, no kids, or have ever been a kid.
Most of those parents got deported, right? That's the issue here, is that they're trying to reunite and they don't have record of where those parents went.
Well, that's our fault. That's our fault, yeah. Completely. You take the kids in the beginning and these problems may happen.
Well, it used to be that they would bring the kids, they'd separate the kids, and then a family member could come get the kid, and that's what they stopped with the zero tolerance, and that's why this system got out of whack.
Well, and if you don't keep records of where people are, right, or records of where people may end up, it's just outrageous.
It's a political stunt that went awry.
Yeah, we're not in the kidnapping business. Next. Paul Vallis questioned the need to require Chicago police officers to report whenever they point their guns at people, siding with Mayor Emanuel and Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson on an issue that has emerged as a sticking point in the negotiations for a police department consent decree with Attorney General Lisa Madigan. The assumption here is that the police will do the paperwork the same way they do the paperwork if they fire their gun?
I'm not sure how it would be extra paperwork, and there's pushback on it, but the proponents of this idea say that it's essentially, if you could see a pattern, a police officer, let's say one of the bad apples, if you will continue to pull their gun when that's not what you're supposed to do in those situations, and you'd be able to see the pattern and give them more training.
So get Eddie Johnson on to talk about this.
Yeah.
Next, congressional auditors say about 30 million people have to come up with more money to pay their taxes next year because their employers withheld too little from their paychecks because it was too confusing based on the government tax tables, based on the new tax law that came out in January and February. It's a hot mess and probably will continue to be. I got my property tax bill the other day, and I owe $15. I mispaid by $15 when I prepaid prior to New Year's Eve.
Eviction.
No, it's not due till September, so I'm saving.
You're good. Okay.
But we still don't know, and an accountant could let me know, we still don't know if the prepayment for the taxes will apply to the taxes that you filed in April. Did anybody gone through the process where you filed your taxes on time?
You won't.
I'm Captain Extension here.
But it wouldn't be till the next year. It wouldn't be to this year.
That's right.
After the midterms. So right, what's going to happen after January and February is when politicos on both sides are going to make this an issue.
Like Justin's accountant, I know mine did the same, because we filed our taxes on time this year. They did a preview of what they think next year's are going to look like, just to give us a heads up with the new law.
My accountant told me this exact story. She said, your company's not taking out enough.
Right.
That's what she said. She said, you got to go in and you got to change it.
I
to my wife,
more,
too.
Yeah.
And Justin, it's funny you mentioned this, because there was a report yesterday from the GAO That says 21% of Americans are under withholding on their
and that's
taxes.
Not, but that's the problem.
21%.
It's not that they're doing, and this is the problem, is it's not that they're doing it willingly.
They don't know.
It's not that I'm going, right. God, I want to get so much
the
money.
The tax tables are completely confusing.
And so this is going to be an issue come tax time, because people who used to get a tax refund or at least break even are not going to break even. They're going to be giving back money to the government, and that will directly affect the political situation around this reform.
Yeah, and just general advice that I've come to learn over the years. Don't use your tax status annually as a savings account.
Right.
You're loaning money to the government, and you're counting on some mysterious number that'll come up.
The question I have, and the last thing I say is a head-scratcher, is the tax money that was given to us as individuals, not small businesses or employers, anything of that nature, but to individuals, for the amount of money that you're giving, it just seems to be a loan, like you said. Like it's the money until it's time to pay it back. And that doesn't seem to me to be much of a reform.
No, you have to remember that the refund you get is not bonus money. That's the money that you already had that you paid to the government, and you paid too much.
There is a calculator that you can go to the IRS website. It's called the IRS 2018 Withholding Calculator, and you can go and fill out a couple of boxes. It's like a page and a half or 2 pages worth of stuff. It'll tell you right now whether or not you need to be taking more out of your paycheck.
And that's where IRS.gov?
It's on IRS.gov, and it's called the IRS. You search for IRS 2018 Withholding Calculator.
God, you know how to have a good time. Next, this is a wacky story. Let's go live to Dave. He's in Elk Grove Village this morning. Dave, Elk Grove Village is going to be the title sponsor of a football bowl game?
They are, the Bahamas Bowl.
Tell me more.
It has previously been the Popeye's Bahamas Bowl.
As in Popeye's Chicken?
4 years, as in Popeye's Chicken.
Boy, the biscuits are good, aren't they?
It will... Yes, I guess.
The gravy on the mashed potatoes are really good.
It will now be the...
If you had a Red Lobster biscuit or a Popeye's biscuit, which would you prefer?
Ooh, those Cheddar Bay biscuits are pretty... I'd go Red Lobster.
Dave?
It will now be the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl.
And why is Makers Wanted Elk Grove Village?
Makers Wanted is apparently their slogan for business. And they've been, I'll be honest with you, they've been advertising, I guess, on Cubs games on television. But they're going to be the title sponsor of the Bahamas Bowl. And the Bahamas Bowl is one of these games that they've actually had some pretty good games. I remember there was a game a few years ago where I think it was Central Michigan scored a late, like they ran like a crazy lateral play to get a touchdown late, and then went for two and to win the game.
So it's been fun games.
They've been fun games. They don't draw a lot of fans, but again, it's if the team's involved, it's a lot of fun, and it's about television. And these bowl games do well, and it's produced by ESPN. And so,
it can't hurt Elk Grove Village, I wouldn't think. And there's not that many people in Elk Grove Village. Maybe everybody gets a ticket. And then you can decide if you're going to go. Elk Grove Village, home to the largest industrial park in the United States, over 5,600 businesses covering 6 square miles. The Makers Wanted Bowl premieres this year. And we have some good news. Last Friday, was it, when I was out? Last Friday, I heard the story of a homeless man who needed a job interview and a police officer who helped him get a shave for the job interview. You have news on this, Amber?
Yes, he did, in fact, get the job.
He did.
Nice.
He did.
Do we remember a name? Do we have a name on this gentleman?
I do not remember his name. I want to say Phil, but once the officer helped him, he was able to do the interview, but he didn't have any like proper paperwork identification.
Sure.
You know, so somebody at the city there helped him.
They bounced him.
It's like expedited. Right?
Expedited.
Marco Rubio was involved.
Yep.
So. It's a cool deal. So he's going to end up being working at McDonald's?
Yep. Good. Got his McDonald's backpack already. There was a
nice.
Yep.
It's a great story. Back with the headlines in a moment at 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's here. Sunday nights on the radio. What time, Karen?
From 7 p.m. till 9 p.m.
It's after the Noonan thing?
That's right.
That's what Brian Noonan calls the show, the Noonan thing. We'll get to the legal topics, including you explaining to us how much trouble Paul Manafort's in a second. Yes?
You should ask Karen our text question.
Just going to do that, as a matter of fact. Text question of the day, Karen, is what did you want to be when you were a kid, and are you? Here's a few of the answers. I always wanted to be a teacher when I was a kid. We'd play school with the neighborhood kids, and I was the teacher. I did it. June 1st, I retired after 43 years. That's how about
great.
That? That's a good story.
Wow.
847, I wanted to be a surgeon that did circumcisions, didn't pay a lot of money, but the tips were good. Okay. All right. Stop it already. 785, wanted to be a makeup consultant at a fancy schmancy department store in the mall. Instead, I'm a teacher. 630, teacher, did it for 40 years. 847, wanted to be a fashion designer. I'm the district manager for kinder care. 708, wanted to be a landscape architect. I am. 630, public works, currently have that title. 847, a cop, became a Chicago police officer last year. So a lot of people following their dreams. 847, I wanted to be a surgeon. Oh, I did that one. 815, wanted to be a cop, still doing the worst way. 10 years as an emergency room nurse, feels pretty similar. Thank you for that service. And 815, I wanted to be wealthy, and I'm not.
And Karen, Steve wanted to be a geologist.
Really?
Well, for 10 minutes. Most of my time was astronaut-based.
Studying rocks.
Yeah, I had a rock tumbler. Cool.
You know, chicks, we all did.
Chicks dig guys with rock tumblers.
So, Karen, what did you want to be?
I wanted to be a politician. So, I mean, I grew up in the era of the Kennedys, and everything looked like it was just perfect. And that's why I went to law school. I thought I was going to lead the world into a better place.
There's still time. You're young.
We're all young. Glad you didn't do that.
I would never go into politics. Yeah. Never.
Well, don't count yourself out. I may put you in. You won't even know what happens.
My skin is not thick enough for that, I'll tell you.
Conti for comptroller. Yeah. Right, I'm working it out. Let me work some things out.
I like it. Yeah. Sounds good.
Paul Manafort. Information in a moment, and other things as we have time, including the 3D printed guns mess. All right, Karen Conte, let's talk about this fine upstanding gentleman, Paul Manafort. Can Manafort suddenly cop a plea now that the trial's underway?
Happens all the time. Happens right before trial, happens during trial. But in my view, I think what's going to happen is the trial is going to happen and then he's going to cut the deal. I think he's going to take his chances, try to get off these charges first in Virginia, and then he's got charges waiting for him in D.C. And I think maybe at some point he might just turn around and agree to testify.
All he needs is one guilty on any of these counts, and he's going away for a minimum of 10 years. He's a guy, I believe, that's almost 70. When will that make sense to him as opposed to praying for a pardon?
Well, I agree. And, you know, this is a paper crime. And these are crimes that the FBI and all of the people who charged him, they have it all tied up. This is following the money. He had money that was coming from Russia. It went to offshore accounts. It came to him. He called it a loan. It really was income. He didn't pay taxes. These are things that are document crimes. So it really doesn't depend on credibility as much as it is just the whole cold, hard paper. So my guess is that the government has a really, really good case against him. And when you have this kind of money, $30 million, $60 million, that drives the sentence way, way up. So, yes, this is a life sentence for him if he's convicted.
Now, I'm not kidding when I say this. Yesterday, amongst the extravagances that were laid out as a plan by the prosecution were the fact that this guy was just throwing money left and right and never believed it would run out. One of the things was a $15,000 ostrich feather jacket.
Right.
So here's my question related to that. Not how stupid that is or what's an ostrich feather jacket. My question is, does a jury hear that, roll their eyes and go, yeah, this guy's ridiculous?
Yeah, you know, it's a smear. That's definitely a smear. I mean, these people who live in these high-end worlds live in a world that we just don't know. And although it sounds ridiculous to the average person, it's probably normal to a person who lives in that realm.
I don't even know you can make a jacket out of ostrich feathers.
I mean, I do think that it's a smear. I mean, what you're trying to do with the jury there is to say this guy thinks he's so smart and he's going to lie and steal, and this is what he spent his money on, and look at how ridiculous he is. It's very impactful to jurors, and the prosecutors do it all the time.
Karen, on day one, I was surprised by this as someone who casually watches trials, how quick the jury selection was. You know, you see this where jury selection can go on for 2-3 weeks at a time. It seems like the lawyers are fighting over who should be on this jury. This took no time whatsoever to whittle it down from 60-some-odd to the jury, and the trial began. Is that usual? Is that the usual way, and prolonging it is the unusual way, or vice versa?
This judge has a reputation of, they call it a rocket docket. He moves things along very quickly. The fact that this case is going to trial so quickly is amazing. And this case, he said it's going to be a 2-week trial. And I've seen cases like this go for months. I mean, we've seen George Ryan's case, I think, went for 6 months or something, or Blagojevich went for a long period of time as well. So, no, this judge moves things along. So I don't know if they just got a good jury pool that immediately said they could be fair and impartial, but I do think that the judge probably kicked this thing into high gear.
One more, Justin?
Yeah, I just, you know, I wanted to switch to the local, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yesterday we saw the story of Jason Van Dyke, the police officer who is going to stand trial for the 16 shots on Laquan McDonald. There was a push to try and get a different judge to preside over this case, but also to move this trial outside of Chicago. Talk about that. How often do you see that kind of maneuvering when it comes to a trial?
You see that kind of maneuvering, those kind of motions all the time, but they're rarely granted. The judges really believe that they can get through to getting a good jury by asking questions in voir dire in the jury selection process. So they usually deny those motions. In this case, I mean, we had it in Gacy. Gacy, we had the case tried in Chicago, but we brought in jurors from Rockford because there was an idea that there couldn't be a fair trial. Also, Speck, that was moved to Peoria. But rarely do you see a case moved. And in this case, it might just be ripe for that because of not only the fact that apparently there was a firm hired, and 86% of all people said that they heard about the case, 75% thought he was guilty, and some even said he should get the death penalty, even though Illinois doesn't have a death penalty. So there has been some evidence that the jury pool is going to be very slanted against him. On the other hand, you know, is it going to be any better anywhere else because of the international nature of this case?
So what do you do when someone's in a position where they seemingly can't get an impartial jury?
You know, you do your best, and you know, you either send it out to another county, you go through voir dire in a very careful way to make sure that the people haven't made up their minds. I mean, you're not entitled to a jury of people who don't know about the case. You just can't have that. And you don't want that, because anyone who doesn't know about this case has probably been living in a bubble, and that's going to be a skewed juror as well. Do you see? I mean, if you haven't heard about this case, you're probably, you know, maybe you got a little weird.
You got your head in the sand like an ostrich.
Exactly. I don't know if you want that person on the jury.
You're an ostrich.
Exactly. You're an ostrich. Yes. We're talking about ostriches a lot today.
Well, here's the reason. I just did a casual search for an ostrich feathers coat. Not much of a selection for men, but for women, I can get you an Andy Hill peach ostrich feather coat for $5,300. What's he spending $12,000-$15,000 for? I mean, come on. How about a purple ostrich feather coat? $5,300.
More money than sense. More money than sense. Yep.
All right, there you go. All right, so what's going to happen? Let's take you back where we started. What's going to happen with Manafort going forward in the next few days before we get to that point where you think he might plea?
I think it's going to be a boring trial. I think we're going to have a lot of witnesses with documents showing the money that's being traced. We're going to have the accountants for Manafort say, hey, you know what? I didn't cook these books. Manafort gave me false information, and that's why I filed taxes the way I did. So we're going to see. It's probably not going to be a rip-roaring, interesting trial, but we probably will see Rick Gates testify, who is his right-hand man, and he's going to blame Manafort for everything. But I think this case is going to wrap up quickly, and my guess is he's going to be found guilty.
What's with tax perjury versus tax evasion? Is one more serious than the other?
I mean, I don't know exactly what you're referring to, but I mean...
Well, tax perjury is what the prosecutors are going for, as opposed to tax evasion. So is it just what it sounds like, lying about whether or not you paid your taxes?
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, in lying to the government about it later. But, I mean, tax evasion, I mean, basically what he did was he created offshore accounts and then he made loans to himself. And when he was repaying those loans, you know, was that income, was that not income? But the more serious charges, in my view, are the ones where he did not register as a foreign agent. He was doing business with Ukraine and not registering, which is really just unspeakable because this is what he does for a living. You would think that he, a smart lawyer, well-educated, very bright, very hardworking, would just follow the rules. He's making enough money that he could just follow the rules and do his job. But, you know, that's really of great concern.
As always, Karen Conti, Sunday nights, again, what time?
7 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
You having fun doing the show?
I love it. It's great. It's a lot of work, but it's fun.
Yeah. Well, you thought I just shut up and started yapping. Now you see it's real work.
That's true.
All right. So it's Karen Conti. And where do we call you at the firm?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
Listeners all over Chicago and around the country getting tiny violins out for both of us right now. It's 7 o'clock, Karen. Thank you. And we'll come back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
7:14. Now, Corey Jobs here. We love Corey. He's one of our favorite guests. He's a big shot with tourism all over America. All the other tourist bosses look up to Corey and wish they were him. Nice to see you, man.
Good morning. Steve, I need to come over here every morning.
Right?
I'm just reading your business card. I mean, that's on your business card.
That's right.
Big travel kahuna.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
Before we talk about what's going on, the text question of the day is, what'd you want to be when you were a kid, and did you turn out to be that? What'd you want to be when you were a kid?
I wanted to be a baseball player, and I was not bad, but not good, obviously.
How far did you go? Did you play in high school?
I played in high school. Played Legion ball in the summer months.
Well, that's pretty good.
Now, you probably wouldn't think I was a baseball player growing up, but I loved it. My dad was my coach all...
It's the best.
Throughout. That's the best. We had fun.
What position?
Second base.
Yeah? Yeah. So you're fast?
Agile. Shifty.
Shifty.
Yeah.
You're in government. Run very well.
You're in government. You're in government. I wouldn't use the word shifty that often. But you were agile.
Yeah. Agile.
Agile.
Sorry.
Right. Okay. All right. Fine.
I could move.
And so baseball turned into the big kahuna of tourism for the state of Illinois.
Then I found state government.
Yeah. Well, we've said it before. We think you have the best job in Illinois government because you get to go out and check out all the stuff that you ought to recommend to us. I never asked you this, I think. What's a real stinker you saw and you said, I'm not telling anybody about this? Or you went out and you checked it out and you went, no, I'm not recommending this.
We don't have any stinkers in Illinois.
Good answer. You are a politician. All right. Topic of the day is what?
Well, it's last-minute summer trek. I can't believe it's August.
Yeah,
where
fast,
did the summer go?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's last-minute travel deals. We were just talking off-air. I was just in the Shawnee National Forest last week.
Got lost?
No, I had a guide with me.
Okay.
But had a chance to visit a family farm there that grows, I mean, some of the best peaches. 145 years in business, Rendleman Orchards. And they ship their peaches up here to Mariano's. But I'm telling you, it's nothing, you know, it's not the same as you go into a grocery store and pick out.
Eat it right off the farm.
Eat it right out of the, you know, it's just been picked. And I stumbled across some really great cabins. And one of my favorite, I met the owners of Timber Ridge. Timber Ridge, they have three tree houses that are cabins up in the tree. You know, it's an adult version of a kid tree house.
Yeah.
Really cool places to stay. There's over 40 different.
What's it cost to rent a tree house?
In peak season, anywhere from $250 to $300 a night, but Steve, people want to travel. They want to experience something unique and authentic. How many times do you get to spend the night in a treehouse?
How often do you get housekeeping?
Well, you get it every day.
So people got to climb up.
Hey, the owners are right there. They're at the base of the tree waiting for you with a hot cup of coffee every morning.
Did you stay in the treehouse?
I didn't. I was on a media tour in Southern Illinois. Okay. I was just there for the morning and touring. But there's over 40 different unique lodges and cabins and inns scattered throughout the Shawnee National Forest. You know, a lot of people know the forest, but there's 13 different wineries, the Shawnee Hills Wine Trail. You know, here closer to home, you know, I'm sure you know that Grand Bear Lodge and Resort You know, sure. It's a big Wisconsin-based company. Yeah. Opened their first Illinois location. Grand Bear up in Gurnee, Lake County, right next to Six Flags Great America. I was just out there. It's a beautiful facility. They did a fantastic job. If kids are looking for a great weekend getaway here close to home, Gurnee and Lake County is the place to be. If you're a roller coaster nut,
I believe that's Great Wolf Lodge.
Great Wolf Lodge, yep. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Great Wolf Lodge. Oops.
Show off.
Oh, what did I say?
Grand Bear.
Oh, shoot. Well, there is Grand Bear Lodge, too, in Star Rock.
A lot of animals.
Yeah.
Grand Bear, Great Wolf.
Close.
Thank you.
Oh, Mean Kitty.
No, thank you.
No, but the Great Wolf Lodge is, they're both great, but I just think you're going to Gurnee.
Oh, I need to follow my notes. Great Wolf Lodge in Gurnee, and then Grand Bear Lodge in Star Rock Country. But Great Wolf just opened. Six Flags Great America just debuted a new roller coaster called the Mardi Gras Hangover.
Okay.
Have you heard this?
We did that. We did that a couple weeks ago.
You did that on a hangover day.
We did, yeah.
Did you have a hangover afterwards?
It does make you feel like you have a hangover.
I'll take your word for it.
Don't you have to explain to your kids what a hangover is?
They seem to know, so okay. I'm
always looking for a hangover. I skip all the fun part of
why is it called a hangover?
Just the hangover.
You go in a circle.
Yeah. You go hang upside down?
Yeah. You hang upside down. And it's a complete loop. It's the largest loop coaster in the world.
Yes.
And it's the world's record for being upside down the longest on a roller coaster. Steve, I can't do that.
And we went on a day, if I could recommend this to people, we went
go
to
on
Six
a cloudy
Flags.
Day where storms are threatened.
If you think it's going to rain because there was nobody there, we rode 15 roller coasters in 4 hours. Wow, we didn't have to wait once.
That might be a record.
Yeah, so we felt like we all had hangovers after.
Corey, the month of August is always competitive because you have the other states that are even putting advertising on our TV and they're trying ways to bring people in. What can you do? What does the state of Illinois do to stay competitive against some of the places that have been traditional summer escapes for Illinois residents?
And answer it in 45 seconds and we'll take a break.
All right, perfect. Well, you know, this is a big feeder market. You know, 17 different destinations are advertising in Chicago. But, you know, we advertise in about 12 markets around the Midwest. We're a drive market, but we're also a state like California where we rely on a lot of in-state travel as well. You know, you have millions of residents here in the Chicagoland area that we encourage to travel downstate, like to Starved Rock, the Great River Road out to Galena, Shawnee National Forest. So we're very competitive. You know, Illinois still ranks in the top 10. We rank number 8 in terms of most visitors. Visitor expenditures, $39 billion were spent here in Illinois last year alone. So we're very competitive. But, you know, as we live here in Chicago, we see this. There's tons of advertising from our competitors because we're just such a major feeder market. But believe you me, Chicago and ourselves at the State Tourism Office, we're out there. We're marketing and promoting, and numbers were up again last year over 2016. So it's pretty exciting. Yeah. You know what's so much fun is we have so much product and such. And now today, travelers want to live like locals. And you can live like a local in Illinois.
We'll come back, talk more to Corey Jobe, and tell you about the most valuable person on the planet as well, coming up. And you'll hear about Urban Kayaks, which is not a band I was in. Later on, however, we will play Lollapalooza Band, Real Band, or Band I Was In for big, big prizes. Corey, what website do you want to direct people to?
www.enjoyillinois.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Take all your promises and bring
Mark Corey Jobe in just a second. The most valuable person on the planet for today is... The Kraft Heinz Company.
Oh.
The Kraft Heinz Company.
A company? They did say that corporations were people.
The ketchup packets days could be numbers. Kraft Heinz plans to overhaul its global packaging designs to find greener alternatives and not add to the big pile of plastic that the planet has become. The Chicago-based food giant said yesterday it'll make 100% of its, or Tuesday actually, yeah, yesterday, 100% of its packaging globally recyclable, reusable, and compostable by 2025, and we salute that.
That's
congratulations.
Great.
Very nice.
Just went out to the ballpark, to Sox Park. They don't do straws anymore.
I'm mixed on the straw thing. I know you got to go paper straws, and it's an eventual thing, but there's nothing quite like the perfectly sized McDonald's straw in the Diet Coke to start
You need to get a collapsible travel one that you carry with you.
Yeah, there you go.
I've already ordered 10,000 McDonald's straws just to be ready.
And guys, when you add up all of this that's going on in the last couple of weeks, you got McDonald's, Starbucks, Aramark, now Kraft Heinz, all these companies are doing this plastic getting rid of plastic straws and stuff. That's, I mean, that's a movement.
No, it's good. No, it's look, it's absolutely good for the planet. It's just not necessarily good for me. So that's the thing.
Right.
727, Corey Jobe. What's your title, Corey? Do we know? Or do you have a fancy title that we should say?
No, just here representing Illinois Tourism.
But on your business card, what does it say?
Director of the Illinois Office of Tourism. I don't like titles.
Director of the Illinois Office of Tourism. Look at you. Look at you. One day a little baseball player, now you're the director of the Illinois Office of Tourism. All right, a couple of questions about staying around. I don't know why. I've always hated the word staycation.
Oh.
It just bugs me. I don't know. It's just weird. Segway fun. Good times on a Segway. What do you got?
Yeah, you know...
remember when Segways were going to take over the world?
Yes.
I remember vividly. There was a USA Today. Remember newspapers? There was a USA Today story on the front of USA Today, above and below the fold, about this crazy invention about to be revealed, which would change the way we transport ourselves from point to point. The Segway.
Well, tourists love it. You know,
they are fun.
You know, it's we host a lot of travel writers from around the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were touring on the lakefront one day, and somebody said, why aren't we on a Segway? So now we host all of our travel writers on Segways. They love it. You know, you can scoot around the lakefront.
They're great.
It's a great way to take in the sights. I put these two down as staycation ideas. If you come downtown, you're out in the burbs, and you come downtown for the weekend. Another, I love to get, you know, people think the Chicago River's kind of too busy. I don't think so. And I love to get out and kayak.
With That's where you take your kayaks. Urban kayak?
Yeah.
What's an urban kayak? A kayak in the urban area?
That's right.
Okay.
Just as it
to kayak with an attitude.
Yes, kayaking with an attitude. That's right.
So where do you get in the river? Where do you get the kayaks?
Just right. You can see it from here.
Right outside this window?
Right outside this window. Yeah.
303 Swacker.
Yep. You can go up the river a little bit, too, or along the North Branch. Yep. You can get them up there.
Yep. What's it cost me to rent a kayak? Can I drop your name and get one? Can I get a kayak discount?
They'll probably charge you double.
Okay.
That won't be good for you, Steve.
Now you say we should go see the Bears in training camp, huh?
Yeah. I was down last Friday. And
good God, man, do you have a home? You're never home.
I'm in my car all the time.
It's unbelievable. So you're in Bourbonnais.
I'm in Bourbonnais. It's fun. You know, you can get up and you get close and personal with the players. It's just a great experience. A beautiful campus.
Where do you go there? Like, you got a place you go to eat?
Well, Brickstone. There's a local microbrewery there. Yeah, yeah. I go there because they're also one of our makers in our Illinois Made program.
Oh, okay.
And just a fun little getaway for the day or the weekend. Stay around.
Urban Kayaks, the Riverwalk Kayak Rental, $30 per hour per person, single or tandem. Prorated after the first hour, $7.50
But if Dave and I were in a kayak, it'd cost us $60?
Yes.
Yes.
That's What about the lifeguard we have in the kayak following us?
I think that would be another 30.
What about a morning show Segway tour?
Oh,
I think that would be great if we all go.
Cool. I love that. We had, when the Segways, it was early on when the tours were announced, they brought them over to the Tribune Tower. And we were buzzing around in the hallways with those marble floors, and it was great. Now, he killed a couple of people, but, you know, these accidents happen.
I was about to say, was anybody left standing?
All right, last word, Illinois Bicentennial.
Yes, you know, it's our 200th birthday this year. Mm-hmm. On December 3rd, Illinois will turn 200. On August 26th is a statehood day. And so we're celebrating with, everybody knows Eli's Cheesecake. And so we're celebrating with Eli's Cheesecake. They're also a maker in our Illinois Made program. Mark and his team were doing 7 Eli's Cheesecake birthday parties around the state. It'll culminate with a super-sized cheesecake in Springfield as we help open the Bicentennial Plaza in downtown Springfield across the street from the Governor's Mansion, which reopened 2 weeks ago to the public.
That's perfect because State Fair's coming up.
We're
sending Justin to the State Fair.
Oh, have you ever, Justin, you ever been to the State Fair?
Yeah, okay. That's a great time to be in Springfield.
I love the State Fair.
The fair is awesome. Everything about the
Justin's
fair
going to report live from the fair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Everything on a stick that you can eat in 14 days.
Soup?
I love the State Fair.
Soup on a stick? Not so much.
That would be interesting if you could put soup on. That might be a new soup on a stick. Yeah. I like that idea.
Pork chop on the stick. That's
pork chop on a stick is great.
Pork chop on a stick. And we're also have this program called Doors Open Illinois. So the whole month of August, starting this weekend in Southern Illinois, every weekend we'll move around the state and historic sites, architectural gems will open up their doors to the public for free for the entire month. So you can get out and explore our state historic sites. You can see some unique pieces of artifacts or history that it's typically not on display. And you can learn about all the things we're doing for the bicentennial at a landing page on enjoyillinois.com/200.
It's Corey Jobe.
There you go.
The big kahuna of Illinois tourism.
Steve, always good to see you.
Nice to see you. You want to play a quick round of Lollapalooza band I was in, a real band?
I would not do well.
The band's name is Opening Act. Opening Act. Is that a Lollapalooza band, a band I was in, or a real band? Opening Act.
A band you were in.
That's exactly right. That's a band I was in. Opening
Act. Really?
You're a big winner. Big winner. Okay. You've won nothing, but congratulations.
It's always a pleasure, my friend.
Nice
thank
to see you.
You,
Corey. All right, headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Lease Link, sponsored by Grandview Homes, thinkblank.com. Your key to everything you need to know about everything related to your home, your real estate, your investment stuff. She's super smart. Hi, Elise.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
When I grew up, I wanted to be a writer, and look, lo and behold, that's what happened.
So you and Dave Ennett are the only people associated immediately with this show who have done what they wanted to do when they were a kid.
Yeah, I need to set some new goals. That's the next thing.
I wanted to be an astronaut. Maybe I should still shoot for that.
I don't know why you say that. I liked your first one, geologist. Steve said he wanted to be a geologist.
Geologist was a drive-by. Astronaut was a commitment.
You don't seem like a geologist to me.
No, I really don't. Really don't. I think I just like playing with a rock tumbler because it was loud and noisy. You know, little kid with a rock tumbler. Here's one of my favorites that I've seen so far. Text line, what'd you want to be with a kid, and did it turn out that way? 847, I wanted to be so many things. A writer, a teacher, a librarian, an accountant. Fell in love with McDonald's culture. Ended up working as a manager for 30 years. Now I'm in my second career. I do medical billing and coding from home. Not so hard on the knees. But whatever you do, as long as you truly love it, it's not work. And I've been happy with my entire career.
If I worked,
isn't that cool?
It is. If I worked around the Egg McMuffin with unlimited access, I'd probably weigh 400 pounds.
You'd be happy.
That would be the greatest.
I'm happy in Egg McMuffin land. All right, Grandview Homes sponsors again, Elise Glink. And what is the housing topic of the day?
Well, housing is seems to be sort of copacetic. I think yesterday we saw the extension of the Flood Insurance Act, which is not a surprise to anyone, but I just like to say, as we do every year at this time when they extend it, what the heck is Congress thinking? Right? So the National Flood Insurance, not as big an issue for some of us here in Chicago. If you're in a floodplain and you don't have flood insurance, you already know what that feels like because you've cleaned out your basement and dried out your carpet and replaced it about a million times. But around the coasts where, you know, there are things like hurricanes and wacko storms and cities getting destroyed, they are not really paying what they should for flood insurance, and the rest of us are all covering that bill. And so instead of trying to be the great equalizers that this Flood Insurance Act was supposed to be, they've just pushed the ball another 6 months down the runway. So
this is why this
the housing news of the week.
Yeah, this is why it's so important that you vote this fall. I don't know that I've ever seen a more important midterm election than this one. And we're going to do everything we can to educate you on the candidates that are on your ballot, especially here in Illinois. Obviously, we can't do the whole country, but it's just outrageous. I've said this before, at least, but if we could find a flush handle in Congress, I'd hit it and get rid of the entire thing. We just need to start over. And there are some good people in Congress, I know, but you got to pay the price with the rest of them because the rest of them are screwing it up.
Sigh.
All right, 30 million taxpayers are going to owe more due to low withholding because apparently the tax tables are so goofed up that the business managers and the payroll folks at work couldn't, they can't figure out how to get it right.
Yeah, it also came a little bit late. So normally when you have tax law changes, it happens July to September or October of a year, any year. And if this goes back, you know, 25 years that I've been watching this. And then the IRS has 3 months to create new tax tables and to create new withholding and to create new forms. And, you know, TurboTax and all the other tax companies follow suit. And what happened is it was just so out of the box this year that none of that stuff actually was created. And so everybody's reacting to a GAO report yesterday, the Government Accountability Office, which issued a release that said Treasury and the IRS should actually document the roles and responsibilities for updating the annual withholding tables. So what happened was the Treasury issued, got the new law passed, and then they went to implement it. And the IRS, I don't know if they just didn't have enough time or, you know, who knows what's really going on in either of those two, you know, divisions of the government. But the tax tables, which are what workers and you know, companies use to actually withhold and then pay that on, out of every single paycheck, didn't get updated, or they didn't really understand what would be the outcome of the tax law. And so they kept, if you remember, they kept saying, go to the IRS website and check on your withholdings, yep, and then you go tell your employer how much they should withhold, which that's never going to work. And so some people, about 10% of the people who would normally have had an issue with withholding, there's an extra 10%. So it's like 30 million people, 21% of U.S. taxpayers are going to have to come up with more money. What the GAO doesn't say, and what the stories about it don't say, at least not that I could find, is how much more money. So it could be $21 or it could be $2,000. And they don't seem to know. We don't know. I went and actually did this morning the worksheet that the IRS provides. And I got to tell you, it's really complicated. And I'm not sure anybody doing it is going to know anything more. But if you are going to do it, take your pay stub with you because you're going to need that.
And real quick, and then just real quick addendum to this, because I just did a deep dive on that story. When there was, before this tax change, there was 27 million people that were affected by not withholding enough. So yeah, it's 30 million now. So it's a 3 million. So the idea right now, the headline makes it seem like out of nowhere, 30 million Americans are withholding, and it's because of this new tax plan. But in reality, 3 million more than usual are not withholding enough.
Yeah, and every story I saw, which, by the way, they're like identical stories, so I don't know if they're coming to us from Reuters or something, but, you know, every single story is basically the same. The problem is whoever's writing the headline went with the biggest, sexiest thing that's going to pull eyeballs on the internet, and that was 30 million.
It's a hot mess, and as I said earlier, we still don't know if you prepaid your taxes, if it's going to work for next year's taxes, so let's all have fun with that, too. ThinkGlink.com. Vote this fall. We'll continue to nag you, and Elise will be back. When are you filling in on the noon thing again?
I don't know. I got to talk to Steve about it, see when I can push him out the door to go take another one of those fabulous vacations he does.
That's his travel scam that he's running on the side?
Yeah, everybody ought to have one, a little side hustle.
Yeah, well, he's doing great. 100 questions every first-time home buyer should ask. That's Elise's latest book, and you ought to get it. Elise Glink, 100 questions every first-time home buyer should ask. Where can I get it? Well, wherever books are sold, or you could just get it from thinkglink.com. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. See ya.
And we'll come back. Oh, President Trump's going to be on the line in just a second. Ooh, we better get ready for that. I'm so nervous, Steve. You know how I get when the president calls.
I love when he calls.
Oh, so nervous.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Speaking of justice, President Trump's on the phone. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Better than Paul Manafort, that I can tell you.
Well, that's for sure. Paul Manafort trial started yesterday. He's facing 18 counts of bank fraud, tax fraud, and more. Now, is Mueller going to use his trial to get some steam rolling and investigate Manafort through him to get to you?
You know, this whole thing's a witch hunt, Cochran. Mm. And Manafort, I hardly even knew the guy. He wasn't working for us that long.
Yeah.
He took the McDonald's order for lunch when we were on the campaign trail a few times.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay.
Can I just say, frankly, Paul Manafort looks like a discount Elvis impersonator you'd find in Atlantic City on the boardwalk, who sells homeowners insurance on the side.
You're not
just
lying about
observation.
That. Yeah, no, you're not.
All of that being said, I am pulling for Paul. You know, because us guys with super weird but totally real hair that's not colored in any way whatsoever need to stick together.
Do you have meetings? Do you have club meetings you go to for that group?
I'm sorry?
Do you have club meetings you go to for that group of super
there
weird
are
hair?
Club meetings.
Okay.
They're confidential.
Listen, last week somebody destroyed your Hollywood Walk of Fame star with a pickaxe. And the other night there was a brawl that took place for the second time at your star's location. What is happening?
Well, frankly, it's a travesty. But look, it's no secret some of the liberal losers are starting to lash out. The good news is I have crews working around the clock to repair it. So guess what? Lots of new jobs created. You're welcome, America. And it's going to be an even better Hollywood star than it was before. Solid gold this time, Cochran.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Yeah, sure.
Beautiful. The other stars will be so jealous. They really will.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the report about the fight was true. I can confirm that. The homeless guy who always sleeps near my star, he got jumped by the crackhead who usually passes out on Barry Manilow's star. Very territorial down. I mean, they're like cats down there. I got to tell you, the hookers down in Hollywood, in all fairness, they've got a lot of mileage on them from what people tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Those girls make Kellyanne Conway look like Heidi Klum. They really do.
I should jump in with a question here because you really seem like you were headed for trouble. During a recent TV interview, your lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, said collusion's not a crime. You agree with that?
Of course I agree with Rudy. Who would know better about manipulation and lying than Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, come on, he's an ingenious little troll, you got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing. I trust Rudy implicitly, whatever the hell that means. He's absolutely right. Collusion isn't a crime, Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like marrying your second cousin.
Oh,
absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And just to show good faith, you know, maybe I'll start a worldwide search of my Trump golf courses to find the real colluder or colluders.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I'll bring three other people with me. We'll comb every last hole on every course.
Right,
believe
until
me.
You get to the halfway house. We saw where your White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, has now agreed to stay through the year 2020. I mean, considering we heard you guys weren't getting along, that was a surprise. I mean, are you happy about it?
Not at all. Me and grumpy John Kelly are doing just fine. He voluntarily signed up for another tour of duty, and I don't mean D-U-T-Y, the other guy. Kelly's totally aware of the mess he's in. That's why he never smiles. You know, General Kelly's a living, breathing, frowny face emoticon. He really is.
Yeah, I'm impressed you know what emoticons are. President Trump, now, let's change the subject, but you can talk a little bit about this new religious liberty task force that's being created by Jeff Sessions. A lot of people are nervous about this. Is this happening?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be fantastic. And Jefferson Davis Hogg Sessions did a tremendous job with the rollout.
Yeah.
The Religious Liberty Task Force will be created to protect people's religious freedoms. Okay, Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this force is going to meet once a week in Ted Nugent's garage. Very informal gathering.
Right.
You know, Hawaiian punch and cookies. Right,
mm-hmm.
Mike Pence?
It'll be a wonderful time of fellowship, sir.
And they might take the bows and arrows out afterwards, shoot some wild game with Ted. Who knows? Look, the point is, this task force will help celebrate the diversity of religion in America, except for the fake religions. You know, Islam, Buddhism, Scientology.
Non-Christian
affiliations.
Yeah, I get it. Let me switch one more time. Talk about Iran. You just announced that you'd be willing to meet with the Iranian President Rouhani with no preconditions?
None at all. And Rouhani doesn't need any preconditioner. Have you seen him? I'm not even sure if he shampoos more than twice a week, let alone conditions.
Really,
that Rouhani guy looks like an actor who didn't get a call back from his audition to play one of the three wise men visiting a baby Jesus. Very weak costume. Very weak. And that David Letterman beard, way over the top.
Well, it's not exactly what we're talking about here, but let's move to the news in North Korea. U.S. spy satellites say Kim Jong-un, they're working on new missiles. They said they were going to break them down. They're working on new ones. That's not denuclearizing. What's your comment?
Wait a second. Kim lied to me? Who does he think he is? My ex-lawyer, Michael Cohen? Look, I wouldn't be nervous. Have you seen their missiles? The children's missiles. They look like one step above a 4th of July Roman candle. We're going to be fine. Believe me.
That's a real comfort. Thank you for calling, President Trump.
Remember, Cochran, keep your friends close and your Big Macs closer.
I think that's really good advice. Yes, there you go. That's President Donald Trump, and we're back
so
with
good.
The news in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Richards, live at Channel 9. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. I'm getting ready for Lollapalooza.
Let's
my shorty short. I just cut some jeans, like super shorty short.
Yeah, are you wearing the Daisy Dukes again this year?
That's what I guess that's what you older folks would call them, the Daisy Dukes.
Let's play a quick round of Lollapalooza band, real band, or a band I was in. The band is Vampire Weekend.
Lollapalooza band.
Yeah, oh, it's very good. They're a headliner.
It's very, very good. Well, I'm not asking you. I'm asking Dean.
But come on. They did the you and my cousin and you and my cousin.
I didn't ask for a concert. Keep that in mind. Ticklish Monkeys.
Band Steve was in.
That's exactly right, man. You're two for two.
I know all the bands that you were in.
Dean knows you well.
How about Concrete Octopus?
I believe Lollapalooza band on that one.
It's actually a real band. It's a real band not appearing at Lollapalooza.
No.
Two for three, though. That's a passing grid. Yes, I did.
You know what that means? Dean wins tickets to our SNL broadcast.
That's fantastic.
Next Friday, Dean.
Next Friday morning, 6:10.
What's the date of that?
10th. That'd be the day that you're not available?
No, I think I am.
Oh, you should come by.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I should definitely come by.
So fun.
Next Friday morning, 6 to 10, we're live at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, downtown Chicago, 360 North State Street.
I pretty much will do anything to get out of being in the office.
No kidding. Well, it's summer. Why should you be locked up in a TV studio? Yeah. Nobody knows the troubles you've seen.
That's why I can't wait for tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Lollapalooza.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we were just talking about that a minute ago?
Well, I'm old.
Dean, do you have your Clyde Drexler basketball ironic jersey ready to go?
Where you would wear it wandering around?
That's what all the kids wear. They wear
Lollapalooza?
No, he's wearing the short shorts and the halter top.
Right. And his hat. Don't forget about his hat.
No, I'm not wearing a top this year.
No top.
Shirtless.
Are you wearing the cool hat?
I am wearing the cool hat. Apparently, that's my new signature now. Everybody asks me, are you going to wear your hat? It's like, yeah, I'm a bald guy. I have to.
Of course you did. let's do this. Let's give away three pair to the show next week. Three pair. If you can go next Friday morning to the SNL Experience, it's going to close on New Year's Eve. And 312-981-7200 is the number if you can go. All right, so we asked the text question today, Dean. What did you want to be when you were a kid, and did it turn out that way?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I'm doing exactly what I wanted to do as a kid.
You wanted to be on the radio and TV?
I did. I had a little pretend radio station in the basement.
I wanted to be a geologist.
Did not. Because you rock?
When I was a little kid, I had a rock tumbler, and I wanted to be a geologist, but only for a while. It was mostly astronaut. I wanted to be an astronaut. Because a lot of people don't know this, I put the ass in astronaut.
Were you like, Mommy, Daddy, look at this erosion.
Yes.
That's sort of what he said.
Yeah. Here's a couple of listener answers from the 773. Like John Lennon said, when I grow up, I want to be happy. 847. I wanted to be a men's room attendant to help people out and get great tips and smell things. You listeners are weird.
That has got to be the worst job in the world, right?
It's close.
I don't care how many tips you've done.
It's close.
You've done it?
Sitting in there going, would you like a paper towel?
Well, no, not attendant.
How do I not know this?
No, cleaning.
You cleaned restrooms?
Cleaning in a motel lobby. Then in high school on weekend mornings, I worked 6:30 to 2:30 on Saturdays and Sundays. I did everything. I was a porter in the motel. I helped the maids out. My first job in the morning was cleaning the public restrooms in the lobby.
That is real work.
Everything's been great ever since then.
Yeah.
Everything's been better.
My mom worked as a custodian for a while at Cornell University, and I'm going to break this to you gently. Ivy League kids don't care so much what they leave behind. So she worked. That's real work. That's not like the nonsense we do.
I'm never going to complain about anything ever again.
Exactly. 630. I wanted to be a garbage man. It was back when one guy drove and one guy hung off the back and flung the cans. I thought it was cool. 847, wanted to be a music teacher. Spent 30 years as an American Sign Language interpreter for the deaf. Slight professional detour, but don't regret a minute of it. Good for you. It's a nice story, actually. And as a kid, this is 224. As a kid, I always wanted to be a DJ on the radio. Now I listen to one.
Yeah, man.
If that's what you're calling yourself, Steve.
Yes. Thanks, Jobo, for your text.
Hey, Dean. Steve told us earlier that he would listen to the radio and write down the top 100 songs and post it on his wall so he knew what they were.
I am a dork of the same color. Yes. I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and then I'd talk up the records like a DJ. Yeah, I still do that in the car.
Do you?
It's the only thing I can ever thank Kevin Matheny for. I can't do it without going WNBC. And I hit every post. Kevin Matheny's a guy that used to work here. He's dead now. Okay, so...
That's
a fact. He is. He's dead.
He is.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about...
Our former much beloved program.
Worst human being I've ever worked for in my life.
Dead now.
And by the way, that's a considerable list to make that list. Let me tell you that. Tiffany Haddish, Les Moonves, Chris Hardwick, The Rock, and Lollapalooza information all coming up with Dean. Stand by for that.
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
All right, a couple of rough stories, Dean, right up front here. What's the Tiffany Haddish news?
Girls Trip announced in an interview in Glamour magazine that she was raped by a police cadet when she was only 17 years old. Said that she did report it at the time. She didn't think that she went far enough in reporting it, though, and that she went into therapy, that she still has issues with unwanted advances, and she says she tends to be semi-aggressive around men as a defense mechanism.
And I'm guessing the perp never went to jail or was charged or anything?
No information available on that, so I'm guessing that that's probably correct.
Stephen Colbert, we talked about this yesterday. Stephen Colbert talked openly about Les Moonves, his boss, and the boss of CBS being accused of harassment and worse. And also referenced that Ronan Farrow generally doesn't make stuff up. So what's the Les Moonves update?
The update is apparently there were these six accounts of sexual assault that Ronan Farrow wrote about in New Yorker that CBS is conducting an independent investigation on. But yesterday, different charges of a woman who reported two cases of sexual assault, 1986 and 1988, was resolved. It was resolved in that Los Angeles prosecutors say that they are not going to pursue charges on this because of statute of limitations. She first reported these new charges in February, but they are from 1986 and 1988, and she never said anything until recently. So that case is resolved. Nothing's going to happen. Those six other cases still, will be pending.
And has CBS decided if they're going to suspend him or ask him to step down?
CBS has decided that they are not going to do anything till they get word one way or the other on what this independent investigation turns out.
And it continues. Chris Hardwick, delightful comedian, good guy. Tiny human. Host of The Wall on NBC.
And is he tiny?
Yeah, he is kind of tiny. Host of The Wall on NBC, and there was a question whether he was going to come back, and ex-girlfriend accused him of abuse.
Yeah, and he is going to be coming back. He's going to be a guest host next week on America's Got Talent. As you had mentioned, he will be returning as the host of The Wall. AMC has announced that he will be back for Talking Dead and also Talking with Chris Hardwick. So here is a case in which someone who was accused of some pretty serious charges was absolved of them. There was an investigation. The networks all did their investigations, and they say that they think that it's appropriate for him to return to work as a result of all this.
He has such a tremendous following and has had such support in more the alt media world with Nerdist and his podcast realm, and he was one of the forefathers of that area. Have they brought him back? I mean, because he stepped down from Nerdist, so the idea that they kind of removed him from all that stuff, so maybe he's getting work at the mainstream level, but he's still not getting it from that community.
I don't know.
I don't know.
No word on any of that.
Yeah.
All right, let's lighten it up with some good news. What's going on with The Rock?
The Rock did something nice. He's got a stunt double.
Yeah, it's me.
And Tom Cruise, by the way, if you're listening, you may want to get yourself one of those so you're not smashing your ankles all over the place.
I am tired of doing rock stunts. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, it's because of your uncanny resemblance to
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, I don't know why he chose this other stunt double, who also happens to be his cousin. Maybe that's the reason why, because it's a relative.
Family.
Yeah. He decided to reward his cousin, so takes him aside. This is all, of course, being videoed. And the stunt double, his cousin, thinks that they're just doing a little behind-the-scenes video thing. But The Rock starts talking about how grateful he is to his cousin for all that he's done and for multiple injuries that he's sustained through the years. He's worked as a stunt double for The Rock since the movie Scorpion King, which was the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite a while ago. And turns his cousin around, gives him a brand new pickup truck as a gift. Nice, a very nice gesture.
I hope it's a Chevy Silverado, maybe the Centennial Edition.
I love The Rock.
You can win that, you know, if you go to WGNradio.com/contest. Totally worked the plug-in.
The cousin seemed to be very surprised that there was a giant pickup truck behind him with a giant bow on it.
Yeah, he teared up, I heard, huh?
He did. He actually broke down.
Yeah. John DeCoste told me to watch Rampage. So I did over the weekend to catch. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love everything The Rock does. He's the one human being where you're like, yeah, I could see that.
Really?
Yeah,
that's what you really.
I'm telling you.
So you watch you watch rock movies and you go,
guy,
yes, I see. I can see that happening.
Movie, over the top. There's huge crocodiles.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And I'm like, yeah, he'd be the one guy who could jump out of a plane and survive.
Get some therapy. by the way, The Rock, Dean, you probably know this. His cousin has a six pack as well, so that's one of the reasons they use him occasionally. I, on the other hand, have a full case.
You are a full case?
I have a full case. As opposed to a six-pack, yeah. I have a full case.
A full case.
Yeah.
Family value.
Overqualified.
70s and 80s TV series have become movies. Control of the Board, Dean.
Tell me if you think this is a good idea to bring to the big screen. This is going to happen. They are bringing back, as a movie, Fantasy Island.
No.
Yeah, I can.
I got to say no.
The plane.
No. I've already turned it down. I want it stopped.
Peter Dinklage as Tattoo.
Well, that sort of makes sense, right?
I can't decide if it should be Peter Dinklage just because he's a little person. But the more I thought about it, Kevin Hart really should be Tattoo.
Oh, that'd be great.
Kevin Hart should be Tattoo.
That'd be tremendous.
Now you're
totally
in.
Get into that.
Yeah.
Or maybe Danny DeVito. How about Kevin Hart and Danny DeVito's his father?
I think Justin suggested The Rock for Tattoo.
Yeah, I would do The Rock.
Really?
Completely opposite.
I'd have The Rock play both characters.
I think Justin's a little in love
with
The Rock.
He's got a boyfriend, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Really does.
Got a little
a shoulder tattoo.
You got one from the 80s, too? Because my notes say 70s and 80s.
Well, that's
TV
because
series.
Fantasy Island was from both the 70s.
Oh, is that right? Did it spill into the 80s?
Yeah. 19. I can give you the exact dates. I just happen to have them here.
Well.
At the click of a button. It was on.
Take your time.
1977 to 1984 was the original run.
Is that right?
I went back and watched. They were showing one day, and I watched a bunch of. That's a trippy show. That was ahead of its time.
Did you believe that one, too?
I did. That was one I'm like, what is happening? There's a lot of that in therapy watching those shows.
Wow, Bert Convy can do anything.
awesome cameos in that as well.
You know, and Hervé Villechaize was made completely of rich Corinthian leather. Did you know that, Dan?
I didn't know that.
All right, you're live at Lollapalooza tomorrow. What's your favorite part?
Oh, boy.
Is it the sweating?
No.
Is it the walking around and sloshing through things if it's raining?
No. Lately, my favorite thing has becoming everyone's grandpa who's out there going and saying to myself, I never say it out loud, but I must say in my head about 1,000 times a day, do your parents know you're dressed like that?
Hey, kids, slow down. You're going to hurt yourself. No running.
You call that music? Why, back in my day.
Hey, when you run with a bottle of Jack Daniels, you can hurt yourself.
Dean, is there anyone you're looking forward to talking to tomorrow?
Well, we're not going to talk with any of the artists because we're going to be out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I don't think that Arctic Monkeys or Bruno Mars will be up that early.
You never know.
So I'm not really sure. Actually, I do sort of enjoy talking to the fans who are waiting out in the street who have no idea what they're in for when
they're all excited.
Go in for a day of sunshine and dehydration.
I was overhearing. I went to Lollapalooza last year. I was just listening to the people around me. And the biggest point of conversation as the night breaks is where mom's going to pick you up.
Right.
So if you could give tips to where mom could pick up the kids, that would probably be
Aurora.
A great thing for the news.
I would go with Aurora.
Yeah. By the tent.
It's not going to be anywhere near Lollapalooza. Right. You got to walk further north, like up by the Prudential Building or... further south by Soldier Field. Don't try to stop anywhere near the Lollapalooza grounds because the police will shoo you away in a second. And especially this year because there are going to be unprecedented security measures because of that Las Vegas shooting place.
Sure.
So it's going to be super, super secure near the grounds. And I'm told sharpshooters all along the hotels, the buildings, along Michigan Avenue, looking down on the crowd as well and looking back up at the building to see if there's anything going on in any of the windows.
What about that?
Like the Vegas shooting.
Real quick Lollapalooza story. I was on Michigan Avenue in my car when Lollapalooza got out a couple years ago, and a kid knocked on my window, and he's like, "Can I pay you for a ride to the Westin on Michigan Avenue?" I'm like, "Get in." And so I took these two kids.
So you were
kids.
The start of Uber.
Yeah, I was. I took these two kids to the Westin from Millennium Park to Australia.
What'd you charge them?
I was like, and the guy, this is what he gave me. He gave me $3.75. Oh, he gave me coins. I looked at him like, I'm not a cab driver. You have to I would think you'd spring for a 10 or a 20 at that point to be like, thanks for getting me out of the masses. I would have had to walk 4 blocks.
Did you ever consider just doing the favor as a fellow human being?
I said, keep your money, man.
And he threw coins at you?
Yeah, he threw coins at me. I was like, all right, well.
My payment would have been, thanks for not murdering me when you're in my car.
Exactly.
All right, Dean, one more band. Rogaine and the Bald Guys. Rogaine and the Bald Guys.
That's a band that both you and I were in.
That's exactly right.
We were both.
I'm glad you remember. It was special for me, too. Talk to you tomorrow from Lollapalooza.
From Lala.
8:31. Headlines next, 720 WGN. Songs ever written. And the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, friend of the show, Admiral Bill Moran's here. Can I say this? You're number two in the Navy? Is that right? Is that right?
I am number two.
Like, if I look at the flow chart, you're number two?
Yeah, if there is such a thing.
Well, there ought to be a flow chart in the Navy. Are you in town to go to Great Lakes Naval?
I am. I'm on my way up later this afternoon.
What are you guys doing?
Well, it's been a while for me, and we have put together some new curriculum up there for our new recruits and want to go up and see how that's going. It's been several months. We've had several classes go through.
Okay.
And we like what we're seeing on the back end, but I want to kind of see how it looks through that entire process, the 9 weeks that they're in boot camp.
How much cleaning do you think's going on this morning at Great Lakes Naval Station before the Admiral gets there?
Oh, I imagine there's a little.
The white gloves are out, bud. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your service. When did you get in and why?
I joined right out of high school a long time ago. You and I probably are.
We're right in the same zone.
Yeah. Back in the good old 70s.
Yep.
And I went in because Naval Academy recruited me to play sports.
Is that right?
Not because I was brilliant. So,
any family history? Military?
None. My great aunt was an Army major intelligence officer during World War II. But that was the only connection I had.
Well, she's got to be a bit legendary. That's not a job that a lot of women had.
No, but we didn't talk about it much back then.
Sure.
It's quite a history to go back and look at.
That's
what
cool.
Did. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is there a 23andMe equivalent for the American service branches? Because sometimes I know when I've been to the memorials in Washington, particularly the World War II memorial, there's an opportunity for you to add your loved one's name, and there's a registry and stuff. But it's tough to have all those things up to date. It was all pre-internet.
Yeah, well, the Women's Memorial right there in Arlington is one of those where you can go in and add your any veteran's name to that.
Sure.
That place. And we've done that with my aunt several years ago.
It's a cool story. Admiral Bill Moran's here, Navy's number two man. And I take a deep breath when I say this, but congratulations on your Boston Red Sox. I know what an avid fan you are, and they are having an epic season.
They are.
Regular season, though.
But as we talked about, the challenging months for the Red Sox are coming up. So right. We'll see how they do.
Right. Admiral, Chicago has a long history with the Navy. I mean, Navy Pier, of course, but the obviously Great Lakes Naval Base. But, you know, as times change, why is it still here? Why is Great Lakes still here when you have such an outpost on the East Coast, but also in San Diego, other places? Why keep the boot camp in the Midwest in Chicago?
Well, those decisions were made a long time ago. Some of it's political, about just people being stronger advocates for keeping a base of that size. But frankly, the history is really important in the Navy. Tradition's important in the Navy. And it was our original boot camp, and we didn't want to let it go. And for those reasons, I'm sure we invested with the help of Congress and local state officials to make sure we could make it a world-class operation. We also got much smaller as a Navy, so we had to slim down. We used to have Orlando, San Diego, and Great Lakes, and we consolidated into one. And this area, Chicago in particular, has been just a fabulous host for our sailors and their families when they come. Now, I normally come up here in February just to make sure I truly appreciate Chicago and what sailors go through up on the Great Lakes. But
right, that's good.
But this is a pretty special time of year. Just looking around outside, what a great time to be in Chicago.
Oh, you like our view?
The view is pretty awesome.
Not so bad, right?
Yeah, it's you've gone from the analog age to the digital age.
We did. We had the street up. First floor street view to now the 18th, where we have a lake in the background that we put in. And you're fond of lakes, I know.
Yeah, Navy Pier right over there.
That's not so that's bad, right?
View. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You said that you've gotten the Navy's gotten slimmer over the years, and I know that because the economy is really booming, that affects your recruiting strength because people are getting jobs. They'd rather do that than go into the Navy.
Our biggest challenge, our biggest competitor for recruiting, is the economy. So when it's up, it's tougher, and when it's down, it's easier. No mystery there. When I was here 3.5 years ago in this studio, we were talking about this very thing, and back then we were bringing in about 33,000 every year. This year we're going to bring close to 40,000 in. So the not only is the demand gone up because we've grown as a Navy in those 3 years, but we're also competing for the same rich talent pool that the Army, the Air Force, and Marine Corps are competing against. So this is a tough time. Our recruiters are feeling the strain, but so far we've met mission this year, and we're looking good for next year.
It's 8:47, talking to Admiral Bill Moran and talking about the United States Navy. There's a lot of issues I have with this president, but one I don't have with him is the ability to build the military back up to levels that it should be at, so we're prepared on all levels. We're talking about, I think if the math is right, 70 to 75 new ships, possibly. Is that right?
Well, we're marching towards the mid-300s. We're currently at 285 plus or minus one on a given day.
You like that number, 350?
I like bigger.
Bigger as in size of ship or bigger as in total
bigger
number?
Bigger as in total number.
Okay.
You know, we like to say quantity as a quality all to itself. And in a Navy, you have to be in the neighborhood. You got to be in the Middle East. You got to be in the Pacific. You got to be down south.
Right.
And to do that, you have to have a number of ships to be able to satisfy the demand.
Well, you look at some of the generally considered number one enemies of this country, regardless of summits and other things. Do we think of Russia as having a significant Navy?
They, like us, got much smaller back in the post Berlin Wall fall and that kind of the early 1990s. They reduced their size like we did, but we've maintained, I believe, a much better quality and capability than they have. They're still very good, but they're so much smaller than they used to be.
It's always surprising to me too, because you'll see stories about China and other powers in this world getting into Navy building. That's not something that they've had, or maybe they're building new aircraft carriers for the first time. But it makes you recognize how strong America's Navy is compared to other countries around the world.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had to compete on the global stage, and we are competing now with China and Russia. And of course, we have to keep our eye very closely watching North Korea, Iran, and the violent extremist fight that we've been in for the last 17, 18 years.
What's the, really important. Obviously, there's things you can't talk about, but what's the most important region in the world in regards to America's security?
From a maritime perspective, the Pacific is where we're heavily focused. That said, Eastern Med has become a hot spot of late because of Syria and the unrest that's over in that part of the world. And, of course, the Arabian Gulf is also very important to global trade and, therefore, sure. our own economic.
And the Russian base, the naval base that they have in Syria, is that their number one reason for exerting the control they have over Syria?
They've always had an influence in TARDIS, Syria, and they're looking to grow that. So we're obviously competing with them in that region as well.
When you go and you meet folks like you're going to do today, what makes you feel most good about this United States Navy? When you meet a new kid that just has excitement in their eyes?
Yeah, it's pretty special. You know, bring them in on a bus, and they lose their hair if they're male, and they lose part of their hair if they're female, and they all kind of look the same going in. Yeah, it's a really wonderful. Well, it's easy to say when you're not doing it for yourself anymore,
right.
But. They are terrific young men and women. They come from all walks of life, as you can imagine. We recruit them from every part of America, and they come in. They're all volunteers, and that's really what this is all about for those of us who are still serving, is to make sure that we're doing right by those volunteers who want to serve the country.
You've earned every one of those 4 stars. When do you know you've met someone who is going to be in, because we talk about in terms of sports, where people who've accomplished in sports see somebody and they go, oh, the kid's young, but he's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, he may not be Michael Jordan, but he's going to be there. Do you have that kind of feel for a young Navy man or Navy woman?
Sure. Yeah, you run into them all the time. And our biggest challenge is to make every opportunity for them to stay in and make service for a career. And in this day and age, young men and women like to bounce around. They're not as inclined.
Attention spans.
Not so much attention span, just the amount of information that's out there, and they can aspire to do a lot of things through the internet and social media, and that pulls on them. So we have to do our job to keep men.
We were talking off the air a second ago about there's a lot of great organizations that try to make sure that soldiers and sailors that come home have things to do and are taken care of emotionally and physically. We train so well. And some of the great minds that come out of the service. Why isn't there a better pipeline from the military to civilian life? Is it just impossible to do?
I think we have an enormous number of organizations that have come out in the last 10, 15 years that go after this issue.
But it would seem it would serve the government well if we helped, you know, like colleges, we're going to job place you. It would seem like if we gave the service branches money for job placement, we could help outsource these folks.
There's no question that we do America a great service by bringing in young men and women. If they serve 5 years or 25 or 35 years, when they go back into society, if you will, they're going to be leaders. They're going to be high-quality, loyal, trusted folks that any organization is going to want to have. I often get a little nervous about how badly corporate America and industry wants our people,
sure.
and entices them to leave my organization.
Right,
so
right.
We're in competition with them too. But that's just an indication of just how special people who wear the uniform and serve to a cause bigger than themselves come away with a character that is. Pretty important to the rest of the country.
I can't force you to do this because you outrank me. Can you hang around for a minute?
Sure.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get Sandberg in here as well. More with the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Bill Moran, in just a second. And if you got something by text, 312-981-7200. Back live on the Steve Cochran Show, show number 1193, wherever you're listening around the country. We appreciate it. It's another beautiful day in Chicago, so I hope you're here. Show number 24 in the new building and number 12 in the new studio. Sandberg, say hi to the Admiral.
Hey, so our friend of the show, General John Borling, has pointed out to us before that not everybody is even qualified to enlist. You know, it's a very actual small number. I used to think, like, oh, if you can't do anything else, you just go into the military and they just take you. But it's actually a very small number that are really qualified to do it. And so I think that the perception needs to change that these aren't people that couldn't make it elsewhere, so that's why they enlisted. It's actually they could do other things, and they've chosen this as their because they're dedicated to our country.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, it's the numbers vary, but it's between 25% and 30% of high school grads even qualify. And as you might imagine, those 25% to 30% are really talented young men and women who have options and opportunity to go to big universities and chase their dreams. What's amazing to me is out of that group, though, enough of them want to come in, into the military. And they have lots of different reasons. Most of them are just the kind of classic, I want to do something bigger than me, and I want to be able to, I want to contribute. And thank God we still have those kind of young Americans that want to do it. So it's a competition for all of us to go try to convince them that this is a place for them. And I think the thing that attracts most of them is they want to be part of a team.
Sure.
That hasn't changed. And there's no better team to be part of than the United States military.
Admiral, when it comes to training, and you're going to go up to Great Lakes and after this, but when it comes to training, warfare's changed, military's changed, our enemies have changed, the style has changed, you know, fighting terrorism. Do you have to keep up with technological advances when it comes to the way that technology plays a role in military?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, U.S. Industry and our laboratories, government labs and others have for decades been at the leading edge of technology and development. But it's turning so fast. You know, the improvements in capabilities, especially in the software cyber world, are turning faster than we can arguably keep up with in many cases. So we're constantly working on this. It affects the way you integrate different weapon systems. It affects how you communicate. It affects how you develop intelligence. All of those things are challenged by the pace of change in technology.
I think a lot of people that have no military connection whatsoever don't understand how much of our air power comes from the Navy. And you mentioned technology. Do you guys oversee the drone aspect and the high-tech world that we're dealing with there? And you know, I'm sitting in Washington or a base somewhere in this country dealing with an enemy on the other side of the world.
Yeah, we absolutely do. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, and thanks for teeing it up, because yeah. I can't tell you the number of times I've met folks out in public who've been to a Blue Angels air show, and they go, man, it's a great Air Force we've
done. Right.
You know, I'm like, hey
whoa, wait a minute.
These guys, they got tail hooks on those airplanes. They
That's
land
right.
on aircraft
That's
here.
Right.
But, yes, we're developing right now a drone that will be an in-flight refueler, just a tanker, a gas station in the sky for our fighters.
It's unbelievable.
And they'll be able to go out at great distance and park themselves, if you will, in an orbit, wait for the fighters to come up and
Incredible.
Plug in and get gas. So
it's a gas station.
It's a gas station
in the air.
It's a gas station in the air. That's right.
Unfortunately, no one to come out and do the windshields.
No.
Bring it back to the 70s one more time. Admiral Bill Moran, and you again are going to Great Lakes Naval Station. Please pass on our thanks to the men and women that serve there. We're proud of all of them, and it's a great resource here. And you talk about this off the air. You know, there is civilian access to that area regularly, and if you'd ever like to see what's going on there and how well we are protected with some young faces and stuff, the civilian folks, you just contact the base. There's lots of ways to do it. You can do it through the website.
There are. Every Friday of the year, we have a graduation up there, and
right.
it's something for every American to see. I hope they get a chance to do it.
You bring a tear to your eye and goosebumps sure. and all those things.
Sure.
Proud member of the Navy, wears the Distinguished Service Medal, Defense Superior Service Medal, Legion of Merit, and many other things I don't have. And a diehard Red Sox fan. Here's hoping they don't take August off and give you some sort of coronary.
Amen, Steve. I'm looking forward to it.
Admiral, great to see you as always.
Yes, sir. Thank
Talk
you.
To you
Thanks
soon.
For having me.
We'll come back with the CLTV Hour, and we'll get the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
What'd you want to be when you grow up?
Keep my hands on myself.
Did it work out? 912. I wanted to be a cowboy. I joined the Army, retired. Now I wrangle fifth graders. 815. I loved animals. Wanted to be a vet. Groomed them for 30 years. 630, wanted to be an artist when I was a kid. Currently, I'm painting a big-ass mural.
There you go.
I wonder if it's a mural of a big ass, because I wouldn't think that would be as expensive. Our boss, Stephanie's here. What'd you want to be when you were wanted to grow up, or when you were growing up?
Okay, you're not...
Well, hold on, microphone. Now you got...
Nope. Okay.
Oops, there we go. So I wanted to be a gastroenterologist because the digestive system was my favorite system.
Yeah, sure.
And I wanted to be a cartoonist, but so I'm not good.
Wait. The old combination cartoonist so gastroenterologist.
Gastro.
So you like to draw cartoon pictures of the lower intestine.
I just really liked science, and but I'm very bad at math, so that didn't work out that way. So, but I loved drawing, and I'm terrible at it.
When did you know gastroenterologist was a thing?
Second grade.
Really? I would have thought the Louisiana school system wouldn't have ever taught that.
She probably had a stomach issue and went to one, and then this is it. Yeah, milk hurts my stomach.
They had the model where you could put the different
stomach
parts
together.
Of the intestines together. Yeah.
Yes, I loved those. Those are so fun.
847 wanted to be a race car driver, didn't make it, but I own a Corvette. 312 wanted to be a professional photographer. Instead, I became a radiologic technologist specializing in mammography, CTs, and MRIs.
Same thing.
How about this? Just graduated from SIU at 56 years old. How about a round of applause for that? That's Margaret from Bridgeport. Margaret's one of our great listeners, and good for you, Margaret. That's a great story.
I am so impressed by people that go back to school, even if it's just for associates, undergraduate, or post-secondary education.
Sure.
As an adult, it is difficult to get back in the rhythm of that.
I couldn't imagine going back into a classroom.
No, and having to listen to somebody and do busy work. And
I know, with my problem with authority, can you imagine me doing homework at this point?
No.
You didn't do homework the first time around,
you
right?
You do homework every night for the show.
Yeah, but it's the stuff I want to do, right? 810, I wanted to be an architect, but now I'm a mechanical designer, close enough. 317, overnight radio DJ or astronomer.
Oh.
Looking at stars, either way. 619, wanted to work where my grandmother worked. I've been at the same company for 21 years. The one my grandmother worked at 68 years, or 68 years ago, maybe. Either one. Company is Solar Turbines. It's a Caterpillar company. Yes, I'm proud. My grandfather worked 29 years for the same company. It's a good family story.
Oh, that is. That's a good company. I like that company.
It's no geologist.
Right. Stephanie, our boss Stephanie, Steve Grzanich wanted to be a nun. He told us.
And he found out he couldn't be a boy nun.
Yeah, so nun. Yeah. He wanted to be a nun.
Just to be clear, I wanted to be a girl nun.
Yeah, he wanted to be a girl nun.
I had female nuns when I was in grade school.
Yeah.
You know, when they wore the full habits back then. It was the full...
What do you think? You could spin around and make that happen? How'd you think that was going to work?
Well, surprisingly, one of my favorite shows was The Flying Nun as well.
Wow.
like that show, like the ability to fly.
You know how hot you'd be in that habit? You're always sweating here.
I know. I know. It's just... It would have been my cross to bear.
Well, do you want a nun costume, Steve? Because
Queen of costumes.
I can help you out with that. We haven't planned our Halloween costumes yet for WGN Radio, y'all. But when we do,
I think we have found my costume.
Yes.
Can you believe it's August and we haven't planned our Halloween costumes yet? It's outrageous.
I got a little bit excited when you said that just now, Stephanie. So.
Oh, Justin, you didn't know about the morning show Halloween.
No, I'm excited.
Tradition.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Pete and I, we went. We've done Halloween.
Justin's a costume guy.
Yeah.
He goes all out with Miles. You were Harry Potter or something.
I was Voldemort while he was Draco Malfoy. And we're already starting our talk. Last night, we had our talk last night about Halloween costumes.
Did you clear any of this with Stephanie, of costumes?
No, we'll talk about it, but
last year, Justin shaved and scared us all because we didn't recognize
him. I shaved everything because I put white makeup all over my face and head for Voldemort, and I had the cape and the coat. It was really great.
Was that Halloween or just any night of the week?
It was the 2 days before Halloween. For Halloween, I was just an astronaut.
Understand.
I was a geologist.
Yeah, sure. Well, you said. Let's play the exciting game, Lollapalooza Bam Band I Was In, or an actual band not appearing at Lollapalooza for SNL tickets. Saturday Night Live, the exhibit next week. And anybody on the show can help you. 312-9170-200. All you have to do is identify, when I give you the band title, which category that band falls into. 312-9170-200. Saturday Night Live, the experience. We'll do the Steve Cochran Show from the Museum of Broadcast Communications next Friday morning from 6 to 10. You may remember we did this once before. It was a big hit. So we're doing it again. That's the day that I got lost in the parking garage.
That's right. You and John DeCasse got lost. I put John DeCasse in the car, and I drove him up to where we were able to find your car. And you said, no, I got this. But then as I was driving back down, I passed you still on foot, had you get in the car, and then I drove you up to where I dropped John near your car.
I literally got lost in a parking garage, which only has one way out.
And elevators on every floor.
He kept, for some reason, you kept going out in the lobby of, you know, you kept going in the wrong elevator.
Yeah, there was one elevator that went to a lobby that didn't have an exit, which I don't entirely understand. But join us for the live broadcast next Friday morning and find out if my GPS chip ever came in. We have tickets for you to join us and tour Exhibit 2. It's almost like a private exhibit. It's just you and like 50 people.
We be at the Saturday Night Live update, weekend update desk.
I think so. That was a cool place to do it. Yeah. We should do it there again. And we'll have special guests yet to be announced. But I do know a couple of cast members are popping on with us. I can't say who. One of them rhymes with Dan Aykroyd. So.
Sam Bactoid.
All right, now you blew it for everybody. Come and see us next Friday.
Great. He was great, by the way.
Before New Year's Eve, because, next Friday's before New Year's Eve, but New Year's Eve is when the exhibit closes.
Yeah, you should see it. It's pretty intense.
It's a good time. All right, people standing by. They want to play this exciting game show, the only game not hosted by Steve Harvey. David's on the phone. The question, David, is it a real band not playing at Lollapalooza, a Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in? Are you ready to play?
Yes. I'm ready.
The band is Three Dogs Barking. Three Dogs Barking.
It's not Lollapalooza.
It's just a regular old band?
Yeah.
Okay, and you can ask for help if you're unsure, but is that your final answer?
No, I'll take some help.
Okay, Three Dogs Barking. Anyone?
I'm going to say that's a Lala band.
Okay. I will make this really hard for you. I would say it's a made-up band.
What do you mean made-up band? You mean
a band
I was
that
in?
Steve was in. Sorry, band.
I think it's a real band, not in Lala.
We really helped you out here, David.
Okay. Potluck, David. What are you going with?
Not a Lollapalooza band. Not.
It's a regular band. I'm sorry, it's a band I was in. Three Dogs Barking.
See?
Three Dogs Barking. I was the schnauzer. Let me go to Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Life is good.
The band is Hippie Sabotage. Hippie Sabotage. Lollapalooza band, regular old band, or a band I was in?
I'll say Lollapalooza.
That's exactly right.
Nice job.
Congratulations, my friend. Are you a big Hippie Sabotage fan?
I was an old hippie, but no sabotaging.
All right, hold on. You're a winner. You're going to the Saturday Night Live show. Pete's with us. Pete, are you ready to play?
Actually, my name is Kate.
Say that again, Pete.
I am Kate.
I don't know how we got Pete, but Kate, hi.
Hi.
Kate, the band is Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. What is that?
I'm going to go with help.
I would say that is not a band playing Lollapalooza, so let's get rid of that and say that it's either a real band or a band that Steve was in.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Steve likes the word funky, so I'm going with the band Steve was.
You think it's me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a real band.
You think it's
just
real
not
band?
Playing at Lolla. I'm with Justin.
I think it's a real band.
You think it's a real band? No, it's a band I was in.
Wait, was that Kate's guess or Pete's guess? Because maybe she should get a second.
Yeah, you get a second guess.
That was Pete's guess. So
yes.
Let's go with Kate.
So you're going with the band I was in? Congratulations, you're a big winner. There you go, quick little round of the same. You guys want one more in the studio?
Yeah,
I do.
Sure.
Okay, let's see just how good you are. The band is Giuliani's Nuts. Giuliani's Nuts.
That's definitely a band you were in.
That's exactly right. I don't know how you came up with that. That's a real shock to all of us. How about Crazy Taco Cafeteria?
Ooh.
Not a regular taco cafeteria.
I will say that they're playing Lollapalooza.
That's a real band. Not at
Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza.
All right.
So
third category gets you.
It really does.
It adds a little nuance to
it. I thought that, but I just didn't say it.
Oh, right.
And this you're listening to now might remind you of Lucky and the Jazz Cats. Lucky and the Jazz Cats, who are they?
I'd say that's the band you were in. You were one of the Jazz Cats. That's or were you? Or were you lucky?
I'd say it's a real.
That's a Lala band, I think.
Real band, not at Lala.
I'm going with a Lala.
So we got one of each.
Yeah.
Again, the answer is it's a band at Lollapalooza. Lucky and the Jazz Cats will be playing at Lollapalooza this
weekend.
Seems
like something you would say, Jazz Cats.
It really does, doesn't it?
Dave knows cats, so I'm surprised he didn't know. Yeah. He sings with cats on Nick DiGilio's show every Friday.
No, that's a great point.
Yeah,
it's a great point. People jumping around, all excited because Steve Harvey doesn't host this game. I do, and we'll play it again soon. It's Lollapalooza band I was in, a real band that doesn't have anything to do with Lollapalooza. And yes, I will change the name again next time we play this game. At 9:28, we're back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 9:40. O'Connell joined us, Charlotte. Texts continue to fly in here. I want to play a couple pieces of sound for you, though. Joe, tell me when you get cut four ready, and we'll use cut three as well when Ro's here. July is complete, right? Did you check the calendar?
August
1st. July's over? There were a grand total of three press briefings in the month of July. Ooh. Three.
That's it.
Now, you could argue, what's the point of the press briefings anyway? Because the press is going to ask a question. Sarah Sanders is not going to answer it. Or she's going to say something that's a big steaming pile. And nothing gets accomplished. But the point of the press briefing from the White House side is to advance the message of the day. The point of the press briefing is from the journalist side is to get on the record that you asked the question and it was answered or it wasn't. So they are important. Here's Anderson Cooper talking about it.
We are here. We are taking questions. We are doing everything we can to provide regular and constant information to the American people.
Everything they can do to provide regular and constant information. Everything they can do. See, for a minute there, it sounded like Sarah Sanders was actually promising to provide regular and constant information to the American people. Keeping them honest, we'd ask her why she promised people one thing and is doing the polar opposite. But we simply haven't had the chance because there have only been three briefings this month. If you'd like to ask Sarah Sanders about her promise, take a number.
It's unfortunate. It's another thing that goes in the opposite direction of what they like to call transparency. So that's why they matter.
I guess that'll dominate the next time they have a press briefing. Why don't you do these more?
Yeah. Well, it's been asked and also hasn't been answered. So, you know, the next time you get the truth from these guys will be the first time.
For a guy, for an administration that seems to be really hell-bent on pointing out how the media gets the story wrong, you would think they would want to have a spokesperson for the administration be able to give quotes to give the story the way they want to give the story, to give them the right.
That's the point of it.
Yeah, so I'm surprised to be on one hand on Twitter and social media to be talking about how the media gets it wrong. And not use the tools that are at your disposal, the press briefing, to get that right.
It's one of the things that drove me nuts, and as far as I'm concerned, Obama's worst moments. You're not the president of the Democrats, you're president of the United States. And Jay Carney, who's been on the show many times, would come out and he'd spout a very Democrat message, not a message for America. And it was bad for a good period of time. Or Obama wasn't working with Congress and helped make that wall even higher.
But
the message the White House was trying to craft was always part of it, and you had a chance to challenge it.
We talked to Ryan Nobles this week when you were out, and his point about the media and the attack on the media was their job is not to puppet back what Sarah Huckabee Sanders says or what the president of the administration says.
Exactly.
Their job is to shine a light on power. That's their job, to make sure that for the American people, their representative.
Every day.
And so this is another example of they're not being able to do their job because there's no record to actually shine a light. Yeah.
What's worse, no press briefings or very few, or bad ones, like you said, that were just party message?
They're frustrating, but they're necessary. They're necessary to show that you're not getting the straight answer from the people that are in power. That's part of the reporting, too, even if you're not getting specific context.
Yeah.
We'll ask Ro Khan what he wanted to be when he grows up. Keeping in mind it's not complete yet. In the meantime, you texters continue. 630, I'm a mom and I wanted to be a cowboy and I still do. 815, I'm a forest ranger. No, I wanted to be a forest ranger and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
815, I wanted to be a farmer or run big Tonka trucks. 40 years later, I'm married to a beautiful farmer's daughter and I run heavy equipment for the local 150.
That's cool.
217, wanted to be a vet. Now I'm a business owner who contracts DNA. Who's my daddy testing and drug testing?
Similar. Yeah. I just want to know, the only question I have about this, what do you want to do when you grow up, is did you go to the quarry? Were you a quarry guy? Did you check out, were you...
Like Joe Rockhead?
Yeah, were you a limestone kind of guy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was...
Steve wanted to be a geologist.
I could have been a Flintstones Joe Rockhead thing, because I was a big Flintstones guy. Rokan, were you a Flintstones guy?
Oh, love the Flintstones.
You remember Joe Rockhead? He ran the Slate Rock and Gravel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite.
My problem with the Flintstones was I wanted my parents to get one of those... like plant planters that was in the living room that mm-hmm. they kept running past mm-hmm. on the round window and then the planter. And I'm like, well, why don't we have one of those?
Right.
They have like 30 of them.
Right.
At the Flintstone house.
Yeah. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Why can't we get a dinosaur to be the vacuum?
I know. I wanted a dinosaur. I'm like, my mom didn't want a dog. I said, shed. I go, the dinosaur won't shed.
Did you want to be on the radio when you were a kid?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, how old are you when you realized?
I can't remember 14. When I wasn't.
I was 14.
I think I might have been like 10 or 9 or something.
Always have to beat me, don't you? We'll be back in just a second. It's 9:45 and more with Roe coming up. See, I love theme from Rokan. He's on a radio today at 3, CLTV, 3 to 4 with Roe and Anna and all their little friends.
And why are you holding out, Roquan?
Well, because Todd Manley, our program director, told me that I couldn't spear Sean Williams. And I'm like, I want to run into him head first. Yeah. I want to head first. You know, this new head first rule, I got to say, I loves me the football. It loves me the NFL. I love college football. I love high school football. Right, I mean, it's fun to watch like the IHSA players because he never once in a while you get one kid who's great, head and shoulders above everybody else, and he does everything on both sides of the field. It's fun to watch those guys. The problem is, I don't like third grade football, which is what the NFL is going to turn into, where you go up and you hug the guy, and then you guys fall over together.
We might as well get a belt with a flag now because that's where we're headed for.
I think we are kind of headed.
Adam
for
Hogue
that.
Had this great. He and Jack Silverstein, they had this great Twitter thing where they were showing each play of Urlacher's. That Urlacher had a tackle in the game against Arizona that year that they went to Super Bowl Monday Night Football for the Hall of Fame coming up here. 12 of the tackles are head first tackles that would get you a 15 yard fine and get you suspended and ejected.
Right.
I mean, he's not making helmet to helmet, but he's leading the NFL wants to change. He's leading with his head.
I say they will have to make an amendment to this by week 3.
Yeah.
Because the game's just going to stop. One of the issues we have with the game, the thing that George Will always said about football, he hates it because it's spasmodic violence interrupted by meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like America.
Yeah,
and this is like the problem that we're going to have here is every play is going to stop. There's going to be 5 minutes between plays because the officials going to have to decide what it was.
Well, they've changed the kickoff this year. There's no wedge. The wedge is now illegal, punishable by up to 25 years in jail. And you know, I think you start the game from now on. Both captains take off their helmets at center field, and you slap each other
and
just smack each other.
New
face.
Rule: no passing. Yeah. No. Passing has been illegal. Can't you pass the ball?
And you can't run faster than the other players because it'll make them feel bad.
There's no guarantee they're not going to ban the kickoff. Next year.
So how do you start again? How do you know when the game starts?
When the kneeling? First time a penalty flag is thrown, then you know the game is started.
It's when the players are kneeling on the sideline. That's when you know the game is starting.
Well, I love this. I just heard, Dave, in your sports, you were talking about that they haven't announced what they're going to do about the national anthem tomorrow.
I know already.
Well, what does that mean?
The Bears, what they're saying is that they're going to, whatever they do, they're going to do it as a team.
Together.
They're going to do it in unison. And that's how Nagy wants it, and that's how the players agree. Some of them will compromise if they have to.
They're going
to
send players out for the anthem that'll be cut in the next week and let them do whatever they want.
I'm sure that backup corner right now is like, I'd like to take a knee and see what happens.
Yeah,
right?
The whole policy got put on hold, all these new rules.
Right,
so
right.
No one really knows what's going to happen.
By the way, tomorrow night in Canton is Paul Manafort night. Everybody that comes in, it looks like they were indicted or Paul Manafort.
Everybody in Canton looks like Paul Manafort anyway. That's kind of every car dealer there does.
On Twitter, at Cochran Show, at retired Med FDLT. I was a fireman for 42 years. Greatest job ever. Still love it. At Cochran Show. 630, when I was little, I wanted to be the guy that cleaned out porta potties. I became a proctologist.
He's doing bits.
That's a Rorschach test, I'm telling you. 847, wanted to be a ballerina, ended up as a nurse. 219, wanted to be retired. Worked out well for me. 309, wanted to work in a museum. 40 years still working in museums. It's great. Justin is one of your people. 224, wanted to be an oceanographer.
Yeah, I was a marine biologist.
Did you see him at the Wanted to Be conference?
It was a great conference.
I wanted to be all of these things except for the porta potty guy, but proctologist is okay.
810.
Just make the intern.
Speaking as a guy who I know is also a guy who's had that test, I don't know what you're talking about. 810, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a mirror inspector.
That's good.
Yeah, that's another bit.
That's Violetta already applied for that.
Yeah, I bet. 262, wanted to be a nurse or a teacher. Been an RN for 30 years, never regretted a minute of it. And on it goes. 815, Steve, you wanted to be an astronaut because the teachers told you you just took up space in school. 219, Steve, you want to be an astronaut. It's always about Uranus, isn't it, Steve? I tell you, the audience, they're getting it done, man. They're working. Working. Are you going to Lollapalooza, Rokan?
I am not, but now I've decided, because that Anderson East is going to be there. I love him. And I've never seen Bruno Mars live. So I thought, well, maybe there's a way to sneak in, work that out, climb the fence. You know, I buried bottles of vodka, and I'm selling the GPS coordinates for them on the internet. So there's that.
Well, this came up earlier in the show. I think there's a great business called Mom's Not Here, where you just go around picking up kids who need a ride.
Yeah.
Because Justin picked up two kids who needed a ride to a hotel, and they paid them $3.
They wanted to go to the Westin. It was 5 blocks away. They're like, hey, can you take us to the Westin? I'm like, get in. And I drove them, and they paid me for it. Although they paid me in coins, in like $2.46 or something.
Yeah.
But well,
it is a wild. You know what I love to watch? I love when they get out of Lollapalooza, and they're also mollied up. And then they get lost at a two-way intersection, and they go around in a square for about an hour before they realize that they just keep crossing the same street.
If you're wondering what mollied up means, ask your college-age kid or grandkid.
So if you don't have passports, right now, we saw Bruno last year, and it's the most amazing show. So, are you going to buy one on one of those ticket things? Or are you going to call up someone to Dean Richards to hook you up?
No. I always overpay on the internet. That's what I do.
Which means you call someone and calls in a favor.
No, I never do, because you know what? If you call in a favor, first of all, I need all those favors for when I'm flat busted. But and then they won't be giving them to me. But in the meantime, when you call in a favor, it's sort of up to them to decide what it is. I like to figure it out on the internet.
Try to pay
the money and get the best possible.
I got to tell you something. I missed Woodstock. I'm fine with missing Lollapalooza. I think it's great for the city. I love it. But I'm 57 friggin' years old. The chance I'm going to go out and stand and watch these bands is not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It is.
And you're only 2 years younger than I am. So don't tell me you're going out there.
It's a scene. Listen, I'm a little shocking. I go into places I probably shouldn't.
All right, I'm going to give you a chance to play the game.
All right.
Is it a Lollapalooza band, a band I was in, or just a regular old band that's not at Lollapalooza?
Okay.
Are you ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready.
Big Nasty Substitute Teachers. What is it?
That was Steve Cochran's high school band.
That is an actual band. It's that I was in. Congratulations. You were correct.
You got both. There you go.
Dave's Childhood Dream. Dave's Childhood Dream.
Not a band at all.
It's a band I was in. That was a band I was in.
Rose too good at this.
Well, he's hip.
That's why he's going to Lollapalooza.
Yeah. Me and Lolls. I probably will not. Don't ask me next week if I was there, because I probably will not.
Bruno would be worth it, though.
I mean, I think that. But Anderson East, too, is amazing. And Anderson East is just now exploding.
How about this one? Collusion is not a crime.
That is definitely a Lollapalooza band. It's mine, actually. We're opening.
That's a band you were in.
Yes.
Ro will be at Lolla. He'll just be mollied up, so he'll forget about it.
Right, exactly.
Ro's on today at 3. Before you go, I got to play you one clip that I know you're going to have some fun with this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States has cracked the code at Mariano's and Jewel 2. Listen.
We believe that only American citizens should vote in American elections. Which is why the time has come for voter ID, like everything else. Voter ID.
Wait for it.
You know, if you go out and you want to buy groceries, you need a picture on a card. You need ID. You go out and you want to buy anything, you need ID and you need your picture. In this country,
listen to the crowd.
the only time you don't need it, in many cases, is when you want to vote for a president, when you want to vote for a senator, when you want to vote for a governor or a congressman.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
How many times have you been in line at Jewel and went, son of a gun, I don't have my picture ID that I used to buy groceries?
Yeah, no milk for you. I don't know. I mean, I know that then they were calling the White House. Like, when's the last time he was actually in a grocery store or whatever? I don't know. Where does he need it? When has he ever in his life needed an ID? Hasn't flown commercial. Hasn't flown. What does he do?
I'm sure. I was just in New York last weekend, and right next to the Trump Tower is one of those New York fruit stands. I'm sure he came downstairs for a kumquat, whatever he needed.
I don't mind.
He paid cash.
I don't mind that the president has never done those things, but don't act like you have.
Yeah.
That's the problem when you get up there. Like, I'm for the common man. I bought, what do you call it, milk?
It's the only, milk. It's the only time ever that he lost his audience at one of his rallies where they all stopped and they're like,
what?
Wait, what? I don't think that's
true. I don't need an ID.
For the first time ever, they went, I don't think that's true.
That's not right.
Barack Obama's from Mars. Oh, well, that's true. We need an ID to eat a Jewel? What?
See you at 3 o'clock. That's Real Con. Bill and Wendy next. Bill and Wendy are here. Bill, let me ask you and Wendy, what did you want to be when you were a kid, and did it work out that way?
I always wanted to be a PE teacher or a psychologist.
So it did work out.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
You're Bill's psychologist?
Yes.
What about you, Bill?
I wanted to write movies.
And?
I don't.
Oh, that's a sad story.
773, I didn't want to be anything, and it worked out great.
Except for my brother.
Yes.
Ouch.
You know the mics are on, right?
Oh, they are?
Yeah, we probably should have told you that. What are you guys doing today?
Bill, who are we going to talk to that...
John Williams.
No.
Yes, we are.
Who scammed McDonald's?
John Williams did.
Oh.
He scammed McDonald's?
Yep.
Well, how do you scam McDonald's? What happened?
Had fake money printed up, gave it to him. Now he's in jail.
That's just scam. That's scam.
I'm going to have Paul Coit on next week talking about this, but last weekend in New York with the Coits, Paul, with his perfect British accent, went to a New York McDonald's and wanted two hamburgers because his son, Joe, doesn't like cheese. And got into a conversation with the counter guy about how
plain
all we got is cheeseburgers.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's 10 cents cheaper without the cheese.
Came back, his head exploded. All we have is cheeseburgers. He said, well, can you give me what cheeseburger without the cheese? Got to charge you the same thing.
That's not
just cheeseburgers.
This guy figured out an elaborate ruse. You know, McDonald's
to make
says
20
that,
cents on every transaction, right?
Well, in this particular case, it's because of their monopoly game.
Oh,
so
right.
this ex-cop figured out a way to scam it so that he would win.
Yeah.
Millions.
Does he go to jail for that?
I think he goes to jail.
They knew it was John because he had to present his ID to buy a cheeseburger.
What is that?
Did the McBurger? What is it? The McBurgler? What was it?
Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar.
I like that better.
Does the Hamburglar like do time with him?
Yeah.
Excuse me, but it's not the Cheeseburglar. It's the Hamburglar.
See?
He should have brought that up.
That proves it.
Yeah. And they had a sign in front of McDonald's my entire life that said billions of hamburgers sold.
Yep.
Ah.
I don't know. Taking advantage of the poor English people.
Yep.
We'll see you tomorrow.